You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha?
I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Meow.
And produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
So make sure you check out our social medias after the show. We have Instagram, TikTok kind of, Facebook, mostly Instagram. Technically have a YouTube, but we're not really going to be using that too much past, you know, going into the end of the year. So you can look at it.
Because of the website?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's uploading a bunch of stuff there now. So nothing really. There was a lot of stuff. I mean, yeah, we don't like YouTube, because remember, we had an account, and it got closed.
Oh, that's right.
And all the stuff was on there, and then I was like, that's a lot of work to reload for it to maybe get taken down again, and yeah, so.
Yeah, that's why it's better to own your own site, because then no one can, like, randomly take it down.
Exactly, especially when you post very weird things, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so check out LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to get all of your podcasting and weird video needs.
Yes, definitely weird video needs. Yes.
I haven't seen any of the
guys, you know we failed while I was down there.
Yeah.
Wow, how's
that? We failed. We did not take a group picture. Nope. We failed. Mm-hmm.
Robbie was there and we did not take a group. Robbie is the group picture person. And how did he
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, did we get a group picture at my wedding? Like, I don't even remember.
No.
We did.
No, we didn't.
It was separate photos.
Yes.
I don't know. Yes. I was in a group picture with some people.
You were in a group picture with me, Holly, and Ralph, I think. And then there was a group picture of you, Sammy, and Robbie.
That's what it was. I remember Sammy was in one of them. So I couldn't remember if it was you or Robbie who was in the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, we fail when it comes to us three getting a picture together. Like,
It just doesn't happen.
Nope. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We gotta be better at that next time we all see each other.
We're not marketers. That's the problem. We're not marketers. Robbie's the market guy. We're not the, we're the creative people.
But the weird, the weird thing is, I was the photo person. Like, I always made sure we always had photos together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Always. During college years. Like, whether I was with Tirza or me and Sammy were together. It's like, I've gotten older and I'm like, eh.
Yep.
Yeah. Or I think about it and I'm like, well, I don't want to ruin, like, our time together by, like, having to take a photo.
Think of it as, like, you're enhancing the time. You're enhancing your time together by taking a photo and commemorating this moment.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's probably what I thought about when I was in college. But, like, now I see everyone always have their phones out. Like, at Disney, every single... I felt like every single person had their phone out videoing. I'm like, I think I've gotten to the point in my life, and now I just feel old, that I want to enjoy every moment without worrying about a camera. Like, I can remember what's around me without a camera.
Right.
And I've gotten to that point. My husband hates photos, so I've kind of changed on that.
Consider this, though. Consider this. I was looking through some old family photos from, like, when I was a kid, and I realized everything about this world, from, like, all the people to the way the, like, you know, certain areas, and, like, you know, the house and all that, none of that exists anymore. Like, none of it. Like, you know, the people are older, relationships have changed. I mean, the whole setup of the house is different. And I'm like, I'm actually really happy I have these photos now, because it's like a reminder that this did exist in this way at some point. So that kind of, because I was, I was kind of like you with that for a while. Like, I don't really like to stop and like pause life, take photo, and then resume getting back into the flow of life. That's like, I get what you're saying. But then I was like, you know, when I saw those photos, I was like, man, it's good to have this for like 30 years down the road. Like, we might think, I wish we had more photos of when we were in our 30s, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong there either. Just, I think I need to, there are certain things I need to stop and take photos of, like when we are together, like when people who are important to me together, not when the same fireworks show is lighting up the sky that I've seen.
I agree.
100 times.
I eventually landed there. I'm like, you have a photo of this. You don't need more. Just enjoy it.
I know what fireworks look like.
Yeah. Yes. We ended up next to this group of teenage girls for the fireworks, which was, oh God. Well, Brett, I'm like, what were you thinking? He's like, I don't know. I was just moving with the crowd. I'm like, never moved with the crowd at Disney World on firework night. We ended up in the center square in the middle of chaos.
Oh,
I'm
no.
like, how did we get here? Like, there's too many people around. This is not what I normally do. I'm normally on the outskirts. Like, how did we get here?
Terrible.
I told him, he's like, I just normally follow you. I'm like, you did it. You just moved. We need to replan this next time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was hot and anxiety ridden. And I'm like, I don't really like enjoy this right now. I'm like trying to enjoy, but I got these girls over here, like, throwing fits about someone stole something from them and they're trying to take a video of everything. I'm just like, and they're like, we gotta hurry, we gotta hurry, we're already late for curfew, because apparently they had a curfew to get back to their hotel. And I'm just like, because they're like middle school girls, these are not high school girls. These are middle school girls. Sorry, I should have added that. I'm like, oh dear Lord. There had to be like a middle school dance competition going on.
There's lots of dance. There was a cheerleading
competition, I think, right?
Yeah, there's.
I have no idea. They all looked like dance. They all looked like they had the dance, like a dance studio shirt on, but I might have been wrong.
I think it was like.
I'm pretty sure it was a cheerleading thing, because I saw somebody. Well, we saw a bunch of like cheerleader stuff where we were, and then I saw somebody post on Facebook something about cheer competition in Disney or whatever. So I'm like, that's kind of connecting the dots there.
Well, that normally happens, like, in March, April. So I'm like, why are you here in May?
No, it's, like, constant from, like, February through May. Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. So, like, we've already extensively planned our family vacation for my parents. They just need to put it in place. But, like, it's going to be end of January, beginning of February, before anybody's
good
here.
Good time.
When it's colder, when it's, like, or at least not dying when the sun's out.
Good choice. Yeah.
Yes. But no, it was a good time. Oh, goodness. I was sad to leave. I did not want to leave.
Yeah.
Honestly, how bad the airport was, I almost said, like, let's just go get a hotel. Like, I don't even, let's just not go home. We're here. We're stuck.
No.
we'll ship the dog down. We'll somehow get our stuff. We'll just, we're
fine.
Living here now.
It's
live
fine.
Here now. Correct.
Oh, it's goodness. Fine. And I'm super excited about this summer series.
Yes. I am too. When I was rewatching a lot of these episodes, I was kind of put back in that. I was reminded how much I love Buffy, or just the Whedon stuff in general.
Yes. Yes. I've been like slowly watching through Buffy since the beginning of the year, so I didn't go back and rewatch them because I'm like in season 4 or 5 right now.
Those are the good ones.
Yeah. But I do love these two seasons. Like, I mean, there's not, like, thinking about Buffy, there's not many episodes where I'm like, ugh, why? Or, like, there are a couple storylines where I'm like, ugh, you could have done without that, but 90s.
Right.
But they're just so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've held up well. I didn't think they would hold up, but, like, yeah, watching these, like, I don't know, there's just something about them that I enjoy them as much, if not more now than I did, you know,
still fun
20
to watch.
Years ago.
Well, and what I love about Buffy, just in general, is there is drama, but it's not so much that I can't sit through all 8 seasons.
Right.
Like,
that's
there
a
are
good
shows
mix.
Like One Tree Hill and Greek and what are some of the other shows? Dawson's Creek and like all of those like teen dramas. Yes. I can get through season 1, maybe 2. After that, it goes like on this twist of like drama that makes no sense for high schoolers at all. And I'm like, I'm done.
Right.
I've never finished One Tree Hill. I've never finished any of them.
I haven't
finished all of the Whedonverse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except for Dollhouse. I haven't done that yet. But
which we will be later.
That
this
was
summer.
A later edition.
Yeah, Robbie's watching Vampire Diaries because his brother told him to.
Oh, I couldn't get past season two.
I was like, you don't really need to wait on me. Every time I walk in, I'm like, what is happening to this?
Yeah. It's not like a realistic high school drama.
Like, the one girl is, like, two people, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not even just that. It's just, like, the ongoing drama. Like, there's no resolution. Like, there has to be something that continues it going. And it's just like, when is it? It just never ends. Like, where's the resolution? Give me something. Some sort of something, you know? It's like one thing gets resolved, and then some long-lost somebody shows up and just starts it all over again.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about Whedon, I think, for me, the Whedonverse, is there is resolution, I feel like, almost at the end of almost every episode, unless he does, like, a two- or three-parter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even though there's an overarching storyline that, like, kind of conflict drama we are following, at least the episodes have some resolution to whatever adventure they're going on at that point. Whereas some of these other shows, it's like, it's always on a cliffhanger. It's always on this. It's like, you are tearing my nerves apart.
Drama, drama, drama.
Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yes.
And some of the books nowadays, some writers are starting to write that way. And I'm just like, I'm going to pummel you guys.
I can't do this.
I
may be traipsing into enemy territory here, but that's the reason why I couldn't get into Doctor Who. Because that's what it felt like. Ongoing things, no resolution. When I watched it.
I totally agree. I stopped after Doctor... Actually, I didn't even... I stopped in the middle of Doctor 11, which was Matt Smith, after Amy and her husband.
Rory,
thank you, left with the Weeping Angels episode. Gotcha. After that one, I was like, I tried, and I just couldn't do it because it started to get that way. Dr. 9 and Dr. 10 was not that way. I could go through those easy. I can rewatch those all day long, mostly because I love Rose. But, I completely agree. I did give the new Doctor a try on Disney Plus. And it wasn't bad, and that's only because it's a very short season. And now we have a new season, so we'll see if I like it or not.
There you go. Mm.
And David Tennant came back for, like, three episodes. I'm like, heck yes.
He seems to be everyone's favorite.
Oh, my gosh. He's amazing.
He's great. I liked him a lot.
I think, what's his face, who did Dr. Nine, Christopher...
Eccleston. Chris Eccleston. Yeah.
I think if they gave him another season, he would have became a favorite, because I really did like him, and I thought that it was kind of cut short. But it was their first kind of walk back into Doctor Who after, like, a 20, 30-year gap, or however long they waited. But anyways, we're getting off topic already.
Yeah, it happens. It'll happen a lot, I'm sure.
Buffy season one.
Yes. So Buffy the Vampire Slayer kicking off today. All right, with season one. We'll see if we like this format. We'll see. You know, I was trying to figure out how to do it because I was like, there's just so much stuff.
I mean, it looked fine
to
me when I was looking through it.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. As far as the notes go. Yeah. All right. So starring, we're just going to do main stars and then reoccurring cast whenever we talk about them. So
sounds good.
Obviously, Sarah Michelle Gellar as Buffy. Of course. Nicholas Brendon, Xander. Allison Hannigan as Willow. Charisma Carpenter as Cordelia. And Anthony Stewart Head as Giles. I just love Giles. Even though he gets on my nerves sometimes, I just... No. He won't get on my nerves for a while.
It's later seasons that
To be fair,
he gets a little controlling later, but
I don't like the way he's written later in the season.
We'll get to that. We'll get to his stupid character later on.
Anyways,
I remember always liking him.
We'll see when we get there. Well, you'll know.
It might be a girls versus guys perspective.
We'll see. Yeah, because trust me, Ashley and I clearly are on the same page with when we don't like him. All right, so reoccurring cast. So for the first season, David Boreanaz as Angel is part of the reoccurring cast. He's not in the credits yet. Christine Sutherland as Joyce. Mark Metcalf as the Master. I wish he was like Robbie and I are talking about this. Yeah, how we wish the Master was more more of a character. They did more with him. Maybe even kept him, you know, as a longer arc, even across seasons. But
he was definitely threatening, dead, but I feel like they kind of, I don't know, you're right, they could have done a lot more with him.
I wish, but it was the first season, so. You
know. They were still kind of finding their footing.
Yeah. Especially after the movie.
Yeah.
Yes. Andrew Furchland is Colin. He's the anointed one, which before we started recording, everyone was in agreement that we don't like him, and we were not sad to see him die. So. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the cat keeps coming up behind you and like looking. Does it? I'm like, oh, it's so cute. Like,
we got an cute, but a menace. Guest.
Yeah.
Oh, he menace. Well, okay. Cats.
Well, he almost knocked my camera over earlier.
Oh, so that'll be a fun thing to watch for. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if we make it
on your keyboard.
Now, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he jumped up in my... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, we acknowledged him. He's coming back.
He's like, oh, no, you know I'm here.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay, so Julie Benz is in here as Darla. Mercedes McNabb is Harmony. And I had to shout out Harmony now because she just keeps popping up. No. Throughout the years. I love Harmony. She is so annoying.
I love to hate her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's that type of character.
I just love it.
She was fun when she comes. She was fun in Angel when she comes back in Angel.
I agree. Yeah. I like an Angel version of Harmony. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we get there. And then Armin Shimmerman is Principal Snyder. And I have to shout him out because he's just
in more
stupid.
Next season.
Yes. He's just so stupid. I love him too. He's great. He's got some great lines.
Definitely another one of the guys you love to hate.
Yes. He's so funny with Buffy. I mean, I know he's... Yeah, it's just he's funny. So our big bad this season is the Master, as we've already kind of talked about. So, yeah. The first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer aired on the WB Network from March 10th through June 2nd, 1997. Which is crazy because they only had 12 episodes. So, it was a very short season, which I always forget about. Yeah. So, season one, episode one is called Welcome to the Hellmouth. And this is when Buffy moves from LA to Sunnydale. And we have that whole lore where she set fire to the school gym. So, she has a reputation coming with her. Yeah, just saying. And despite Cordelia's efforts, she befriends Willow and Xander, who they described him in this episode, cool skateboarder Xander, which literally the only episode he skateboards in is this one. So that clearly didn't stick.
We need to take cool out.
Yeah. And also, I wouldn't say cool, but he is skateboarding in this episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then his bestie, Jesse, who doesn't make it very far in the season. Sorry, Jesse. You weren't meant to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, we get introduced to her watcher, Rupert Giles, a.k.a. the librarian. So,
what, creepy?
What? I don't know who wrote this. I'm not reading it forward for word because I didn't care for the entire description, obviously.
No, because he's not creepy.
I wouldn't say creepy because I love Rupert. Yes.
He's not creepy. He's just British.
He's just standoffish a little bit, but, yeah, he's very British. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, Buffy comes. She doesn't want to acknowledge she's still the Slayer, but you know, vamps come and she's like, oh crap, still got to deal with it. All right, I'll continue my calling to be the Slayer. And Angel pops up because he's stalking her, so
creepy.
Which he does a lot of that, so
but he I looks still really love Angel, cool while he's doing it.
He does look now that's yeah he gets the term cool, unlike Xander. Yes, he does.
I will was say it, though
was that just a,
No, go ahead.
No, I'd say, was it a... I couldn't remember if this was true or not, but somebody said, like, David Boreanaz had never acted before. They just said, like, hey, you look, you know, hot and scary. Or, like, they just kind of pulled him off the street and said, hey, you
want to... his...
Was that him or was that somebody else? Or was that just, like, an urban legend or something?
You know what? I didn't see in the trivia, but you're saying... Yeah, you saying that, it triggered something in my brain that was just, like... I think this was one of his early acting things.
It's like, hey, you look tall, mysterious, and broody. You want to be in a show?
He did do that very well in the show.
He did.
I will say. And Ashley's going to figure out the mystery for us. Because, that wasn't in the trivia. Mm-hmm. But
so he did some, like, JCPenney commercials with pre-fame Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston? What?
But okay. He gained some experience working on sets and doing production assistant work. He was discovered while walking his dog by a talent scout, which led him to his first role in Buffy.
That's what okay. it was.
There you go.
He also appeared in an episode of Married with Children before Buffy.
Gotcha.
But not a lot of acting.
That's such an LA thing to happen. It's like, hey, you look pretty mysterious. You want to be in a show? Like, that's such a thing. Yeah, like, I can see that.
Walking your dog.
Especially for a guy that looks like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm going to be honest. I think David got better with time.
He did.
I didn't think he was that attractive when he was Angel.
Mm-hmm. He was and so then, skinny and I don't know.
Yeah. As he, I mean, when he got into the Angel show, it got better. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then he got to Bones and I'm like, oh. And now he's in and
you have a personality.
Navy SEAL in his And then he was a Navy SEAL in his most recent stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you got better
with
time.
He just continues to age very well. Yes.
Age so well.
Yes, so, I will agree with you.
He was very like blocky and wooden as far as his like acting goes in the first season. Like,
well, he's a broody he's a broody vampire who can't tell her he's a vampire. Like,
no,
he has a soul.
But he has the smolder.
Tortured. He's like a tortured
yeah,
tortured artist type.
Yes. But he can. But he can do this. That's his look.
Oh, he has those big puppy dog eyes, and it's like
I know. And then you're just like, okay,
dang you, go
you can
away.
Continue to stalk me. It's fine. I'll accept it. Oh boy. All right. And then our final episode, episode 12, was Prophecy Girl. And in this one, this is when Giles finds out there's a prophecy saying Buffy is going to go against the Master and she's going to die. And everybody's upset about it. Reasonably so. You know, just saying. Mm-hmm. And but it turns out, you know, it doesn't stick. So we're good. That's how we continued on with the series.
Well, even the Master's like, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
All you had to do is stay away from me, and this never would have happened.
Yeah, but Buffy can't do that. No.
No.
Never. She's not capable. So the highest rated episode on IMDb is actually the finale, Prophecy
Makes
Girl.
Sense.
Yeah, the second highest. I mean, I'm not arguing with that. The second highest rated was Angel, and then the third was Nightmares. The lowest rated was iRobot Eugene, which
is one of my favorites.
I don't dislike it. I mean, like, I get what happened to Willow, and I feel bad for Willow because, you know, poor nerdy girl. But I also just want to slap her the whole episode. I'm just like, Willow, you're smart.
I think I like it because it focuses on Willow, and I really enjoy Willow's character, so it kind of gave her some layers.
I do like that when we get episodes that focus not just on Buffy, we get some outside characters. So I do think that's nice. So overall, what happened this season? Buffy came to Sunnydale. The Scooby gang was formed. Buffy meets Angel and oops, he's a vampire. And Buffy dies and then comes back. So that's kind of our overreaching scenarios in this season. As I said, it contains only 12 episodes. The heist, I think we've talked about this last summer, but the high school used for external and some internal scenes in the series is Torrance High, and it was also used in Beverly Hills 90210 and She's All That. So okay. I think we did talk about that when we talked about She's All That, but just to remind you. And up until the third season, the school set had only one hallway, and the bronze was actually just an old warehouse. So,
I mean, that makes sense. I feel like a teen club is going to be in... Wasn't our teen clubs in high school in warehouses?
I don't think that's a problem. Yeah, I mean, it seems fitting, right? You know, it seems very realistic. Mutant Enemy, Joss Whedon's production company, was the name he gave to his first typewriter when he was 15. So that's where that came from. And the logo was created in 20 minutes when he was told he needed one. So,
yeah. I mean, that's a fitting name for your typewriter.
I know, I really liked that little
when you're writing, your keyboard or pencil or whatever you're using feels like an enemy sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it seems fitting for all that.
For me, it's the blank page that's the enemy.
Yeah.
Also
that,
fair.
That also makes sense.
Yeah, also fair.
And the blinking
So Sarah Michelle Gellar... So Sarah Michelle Gellar originally auditioned for Cordelia, and Charisma Carpenter auditioned for Buffy. Julie Benz also tried for the part of Buffy, and then of course they put her as Darla. And then Mercedes auditioned for Buffy as well. So, yeah, very interesting.
It's very interesting.
I could not. If Mercedes or Julie, no offense to them, but if either of them got Buffy, that would have annoyed the crap out of me.
It definitely wouldn't have worked. I could have seen the charisma and Sarah Michelle Gellar swap. I definitely could have seen that.
Yeah, that could have happened.
In a lot of they're in a lot of ways very similar. They're very much the same character. Like Cordelia is Buffy's path not taken. Like she's the shadow of Buffy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
But I think for once, like having the blonde, I mean, it for once finally having the blonde girl not be the airhead and be the
That is a nice switch.
Is a better switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is nice, especially from the 90s.
Yeah, definitely from the 90s. Yeah. Cuz if you
they mean, definitely set up a lot of like 90s characters. Tropes in the first one, but
no, I mean it was 1997.
They're right in the heart of it. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, they set it up, but then in true Joss Whedon fashion, like, he sets things up, and then he'll kind of flip it on its head. So, that's always
Said. Yeah, just the whole goal.
You know, Xander, cool skateboarder, like, he's very much not. And then Cordelia, like, alpha high school mean girl who actually has an arc and, you know, becomes more sympathetic as well, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. And then I don't really think this is necessarily true, but Welcome to the Hellmouth is considered a continuation from the 1992 movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer starring Christy Swanson. In this movie, Buffy did burn down the school gym to kill vampires, which is mentioned. I think that's the only, I think they took like, because Joss Whedon was obviously involved in both, so I think they, he referenced things that he wrote and was meant for the Buffyverse, you know, to continue here, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a continuation. No. They're not really the same universe.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Yeah. So, just saying.
It's more of an homage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We add the movie to the universe, but begrudgingly. Yes, it is part of the same universe.
But not really.
No.
Anyways, so yeah, that's all the trivia I got. So now we can move into just talking about it.
Where do we want to begin?
I don't know. I mean, we can ease into it with some of our favorite episodes, you know, just to get the conversation started.
Mm. Sure. I wrote mine down so I didn't forget their names. But who wants to go first?
You have more notes than I do, so I don't really have to pull the list. I'm just going from memory.
Okay. So probably my I was like looking through the list because I never remember episode names. I just remember what they're about.
Yeah.
This season, I probably could have named every single episode on my favorite list. To be honest, because I can watch this season over and over again. It just, it's the start. I love starts of things. I've talked about this before on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I love the start of things. So this is the start of, in my head, the original, the official start of Buffy. Goodbye movie. Some of the ones that always pop up in my mind is I, Robot, You, Jane. I know it's the least rated, but it's like this new look into Willow and starting to, I mean, her character is always evolving and changing, but we kind of get a different look at Willow because she does become a little like defensive and stick up for herself before she realizes the guy's a demon. And I just think the concept of the demon and how he comes about is interesting. And how they set that up. So I think that's another one that I like is just the crossover from like how technology can ruin us.
Very true.
Which I find is Giles' like biggest thing. He's like, no technology. He's like anti-technology. And I'm like, you know what, Giles? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I really do agree with you on that.
Yeah, might be right. So,
I, Robot, You, Jane is one that I like to watch. I also like watching Puppet Show, even though puppets can sometimes be creepy to me. But I like the concept of the show as well, like the ventriloquist who's actually the twist in it that he's actually a monster hunter. He's trying to regain his soul or free his soul. And honestly, when I remember first watching this show or this episode, and I did not know who the monster was. Like I couldn't figure it out, and they did a really good job on the twist on that one. And then, of course, Prophecy Girl. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I feel like she finally fully embraces who she is at that point and is like, all right, I'm the vampire slayer. I'm going to go kick some ass.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many good episodes in this.
Yeah, season. I mean, it's hard to narrow it down.
Yeah.
It is.
Honestly.
Even with, like, the campiness of the still kind of figuring out what this show wants to be, they still, like, the core spirit of it is still very much there.
Yeah. Well, and it's the 90s campiness. Like, we can't get away from it.
No.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I was, like, pulling up the list again.
Yeah, I like to look at the list to remind me, because there's just so much that happened.
Well, I mean, you got the witch, where the cheerleaders are getting set on fire. Like,
fun episode.
I would have been okay with that in high school with our cheerleaders.
I think it's a fun episode, the witch. Yeah, I think it's fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's such a fun episode. Then you got Teacher's Pet, where it's Joss takes this concept from the 90s of, like, sexualizing your teacher and turning it around, and the teacher's killing you, like, trying to kill that trend or whatever. She's a praying mantis. Like, that episode is creepy. Good, but creepy.
Yeah, that's one I don't really need to rewatch over and over again.
I watch it because it's just funny to me when Xander's about to be killed because he's a virgin. It just makes me laugh. You know, maybe it's just because, it makes me wonder, like, how many, I mean, if you remember in high school, how many guys would brag about this girl, that girl, or they got some, or how many of them actually were sitting there virgins and never had touched a girl in their life?
Right. Just making it up.
It was all talk. Yeah. All making it up.
It was all talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, of course, the pack. That was... Bleh. They ate their principal.
It's so terrible. Every time that scene comes up, I'm just like, oh, my God.
I can't watch it.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's horrific.
Ugh.
I mean, I would say for my favorite episodes, Prophecy Girl, definitely, just because it's so well done. You know, especially all the drama leading up to the death, and then she does die, all of that. Yeah. And I really like the episode Angel, too, you know, getting a little bit more of his story. Darla is in there. I always like seeing Darla, because she is the worst. And she's just, perfectly evil, and I just love it. Mm-hmm. So no complaints there, you know. And then, I mean, the first episode, you know, because it sets the scene. So, you know, literally, welcome to the Hellmouth.
It's pretty, pretty
sums it up. This is where we are.
Yeah.
7 years coming. Yeah. This is where we're going to stay. So I thought it was a good intro to the series, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a good job at setting everyone up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you kind of know exactly who everybody is pretty quickly as far as the characters go. And
he sets up their archetypes that he's going to destroy later on.
Yeah. And just now you watch, you know, Buffy, where she starts and then where she ends, is just crazy. Just all the changes and growing up she does, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not wrong.
Yeah. I really like the episode Angel. That was, I think it's mostly because I'm a huge fan of, like, the show Angel, and I know where the lore is going, because it gets deep. Like, whole backstory, like, eventually, later on down the road, we'll actually see him as a young man before he became a vampire, and, you know, see the kind of person he was, and they kind of, like, they hinted at it, like, they showed him, oh, yes, you know, he was the worst vampire in Ireland, then he leaves Ireland, but there's no record of him killing in America, you know? And then we actually learn why that is, and I didn't even realize that one of the vampire henchwoman was Darla. I didn't even realize that was Darla until, like, she had revealed herself. So I'd completely forgotten that she was in that one. I don't know, just, like, being able to actually, like, oh yeah, I know what that is, I know where that's going, and I don't know. I mean, like, I know a lot of people don't really like Angel, but he's one of my favorite characters personally.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've always personally been drawn to, like, what do you call it? Like, the the baddest of the bad who develops a conscience. So they carry mm-hmm. the weight of all the bad stuff they did, you know, and then mm-hmm. the way he talks about it, you know, yeah, I did it and I liked it. I remember, like, it's almost like kind of sardonic about it, but yeah, you can tell it's weighted on him. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Those characters to me are always really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that I don't like Angel when I choose Spike. It's just Angel. I mean, they're both very, very toxic in so many different ways.
Oh, 100%.
But mm-hmm. at least, like, in my mind, Spike, he owns his toxicity.
He does.
And acknowledges it. Angel is just this, like, he annoys he annoys the shit out of me when he's tortured Angel, because he is stringing her along. He loves her, but he shouldn't be with her, and just mm-hmm. all the, just... I mean, Buffy, leave him. Like, stop. Yeah. Like, and it's probably because I've been in toxic relationships that mm-hmm. I just look at him and I'm like, ugh. Like, at least just own it. Own the fact that you are being an a-hole. Mm-hmm. Even though you're trying to be all tortured and romantic.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I mean, you saw what happened. You did see what happened when he became really, really happy with Buffy. He just becomes Angelus.
Oh, yes. Oops. I know. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But if you know that that's going to happen to you, don't string this poor girl along. Get out of the stinking country. Mm-hmm. And Buffy, just stop. There are other men out there who are not toxic. But mm-hmm. that is old Ashley,
who's
had a lot of experience.
They don't smolder speaking. The way Angel does.
Mm-mm. Nobody looks like Angel does.
No.
There's mm-hmm. a lot hotter than Angel. Mm-hmm. Or at least older, until he's older. Give it like 10 years. Let him grow up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. By the time he's in his own series, yeah. Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I like him when he's in Jealous. I like when he's evil. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but his evil and Jealous is just...
It's fun.
I wish Such we had more character. Episodes of evil and Jealous.
Oh, where do we get to Angel?
Just... Mm-hmm. Which when season we get is that? Where he is fully...
Season four of Angel, like, it's season four of Angel.
Season four, like, okay. I'm like, I know there's one.
Like, most of the season. To the point where you're like, okay, I want Angel back. Like, at some point you're like, okay, I'm actually sick of Angel.
Yeah, I agree. Like, at some point you're like, I've had enough of you. Yeah. Like, where's Willow? Can we fix this? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of done with this.
Can we fix this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah. We'll get plenty of Angels next episode, though, mm-hmm. when we talk about it. But I was just thinking, too, when we were talking about Darla, too, what a way to even open the series with Darla.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, automatically, mm-hmm. like you guys were saying, like, you flip it on its head, you know? You're just mm-hmm. like, oh, this poor girl, you know, she's out with this guy and she's unsure about what they're going to do. And then all mm-hmm. of a sudden it's like, ooh, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Okay. She is not a good person.
Yeah. Right. Again, it's another one of those tropes they flip. Like, you think the guy's going to be, you know, the menace. Turns out she's the vampire. Yep. You know, she's the mm-hmm. one you got to watch out for.
Yeah, that was a really good flip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just tells you what the series is going to be about right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. But, yeah. And, you know, of course, I'll tail add piggyback off the, I also enjoy Prophecy Girl, the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I like when they play the theme song at the end of that episode after she comes back to life.
Oh, yes.
It's like, it's moments like that are like, remind mm-hmm. me why I like this show, because not many shows have that like hero moment, you know,
mm-hmm.
where it all lines up perfectly and you know she's ready to go, nothing's stopping her. Oh, look, a bad guy. Barely gets, you know, barely it's, touches
that's
them.
That's the best part is it's when so they're like, you cool need to like to rest. You were just dead 5 seconds ago. And she's like, mm-mm, let's go. I got stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a lot of moments like that in all of these shows. But that mm-hmm. one, you know, that first moment where that happens. And it's not just the moment. It's like, we've earned that moment. We've spent the whole series earning that moment, building up to,
mm-hmm.
you know, just realizing that she's a kid. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. you know, like, if it's an adult facing the fact that, okay, I have to die, that's one thing. But, I mean, she's literally a child. She's 16. You know, she hasn't even lived at all. And now she has this weight of not just growing up, but growing into this epic adventure, you know, or this epic responsibility.
This destiny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That she has no control over.
Yeah.
She goes through it, and then she owns it, and she comes about out on the other side, and we're like, all right, let's go. We're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then that leading into episode two, I know we're going to talk about it next week, but that episode and then leading into episode two, seeing, like, we had this amazing hero moment, and I love how Joss Whedon, like, takes it and is like, okay, let's look at the mental and physical ramifications of it. Because most superhero shows, like, even if you think about Marvel, the crap that they go through, we don't really see, like, what their mental state is. They just keep being heroic.
Right.
And Joss lets us see, like, the ramifications and the effects of it, of what's happening. Even in this season, when she has to deal with, like, Master and dealing with the fact that she knows she's going to die.
Yeah, like, she throws a fit about it. Yeah, which, I mean, if I was 16, I would have been like, screw you, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I'm not dying anymore. At 16.
Yeah, go find someone else to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, she totally did. I quit. No, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, she came back, but yeah. But I agree. I really like all through all of the show, you know, all of the Whedon stuff. I mean, you always get to see what happens after. How are people dealing with it? You know.
Yeah.
It's not always pretty.
A lot of raw emotion. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we go through this series, especially just thinking of like Willow when Buffy keeps dying. Just the raw emotion from Willow and the ramifications with Angel and the ramifications with a bunch of different things. Her mom and just all the things we're going to see as we go through this season. Or these
heavy stuff.
Seasons. Mm-hmm. A lot of heavy stuff.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gets dark. Season 6, I believe, that's like the darkest one. That's when Willow has her whole rampage.
Oh, gosh. Dear Lord.
Bored now.
Although, I mean, she's... Oof. I mean... It's intense, but, I didn't not enjoy it, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm you know? I still love me some Willow all the way through. Oh, yeah. Even when she gets dark and slightly evil.
Very scary.
Slightly?
Evil. I'm trying to be nice.
Probably past slightly,
We're well beyond.
When she becomes insanely evil, I also like her when she's a when they have to do the alternate universe and she's a vampire.
I love Vampire Willow.
Mm-hmm.
I could do a whole series of just watching her be a vampire. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
Xander can go. Even as a vampire, I wanted to stake him.
I could leave Xander, but Willow.
He's got some problems.
Yeah.
You went to, here's the funny part, is I'm, like, looking at, I mean, everyone has their toxicity in this show, and he shows it. But, like, it's funny, like, you technically have four if you count Riley, because he is a love interest. You got these love interests, or these potential love interests. You got, like, three or four of them. Xander, Angel, Spike-ish, and Riley. But each of them has their different types of, like, toxicity that is just unhealthy in relationship. Like, we don't see any healthy relationships in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Even with, like, Willow and what's her name?
Tara.
Yeah.
Willow and the werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Oz.
I cannot remember these names. Oz. Like, there are no healthy relationships anywhere in this show.
I would argue the closest thing to a healthy relationship, oddly enough, it would be Anya and Xander. Like, they're oddly, like, they have their problems, but they work through them.
They discuss
like
it.
They discuss it.
Yeah. That's true. Even though I can't stand Anya.
You don't like Anya? Oh, I like
that's
Anya.
That's true. Oh, I like Anya, Anya annoys me.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about her that I want to sucker punch her face.
Aw.
I do. Anya. I don't know why. It also might be because I'm not really a big fan of Xander. So I'm like, why are you... This is why
Anya should
have... in love with Xander.
It is a very odd choice for her to pick Xander.
Yeah. But. She picked the wrong guy. That's for sure.
I mean, I liked her as an evil demon who was, like, helping women get their take on men. Mm-hmm. I like that. And then you go and choose Xander. And as a human, no. No. Why?
It's Joss Whedon's wish fulfillment.
It really clearly is.
Xander is that character. Every show has some version of, like, Joss Whedon just sort of inserting himself, or like a version of himself into, or like how he sees himself. Xander is that for Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goodness.
That's a thing. That's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
Mm-hmm. Still fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah. No argument there. Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't have any much else on season one. What about you guys? Anybody we want to, like, particularly talk about? Do we want to talk about the mom situation? Because I think that Joyce is a very competent and actually a very astute mother.
I love Joyce.
For a 90s show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Joyce. I think
I do, too.
Great.
I'm not saying bad things about Joyce. I'm just
definitely.
Like, I feel like he actually created a solid mother character compared to the mother heads in other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he definitely did. Like,
she's great.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that, again, another trope they got away from, where parents in the 90s are just sort of, like, either they're just kind of there, or they're just kind of, like, I don't know, incompetent and, you know, kind of dorky and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I read somewhere, I don't know if I actually read this or I'm just, like, remembering it wrong, but I think he based a lot of Joyce off of, like, the relationship he had with his own mother. So that seems where, like,
I think I had read that somewhere too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, which would make sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like the fact that, like, they eventually, like, Joyce is introduced to this whole world of vampires and demons, and, like, it's not just like, oh, why is my daughter sneaking around and she's doing all kinds of, like, oh, no, she actually is this thing and she can handle herself and I have your back. Like, that's cool to see. I like that, like, refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's also worried as well. Like, she...
Well, naturally, I mean, she's still a mom.
Well, and... But that's the thing. Like, I feel like when we have these types of movies or shows, the parents like, okay, do what you need to do. Like, don't worry about everything else. Like, I got your back. But Joyce isn't that mom. Joyce is like, yes, I want you to train. But guess what? You still have homework to do. You still have to get good grades. You still have to be able to... Like, I want you to be a normal human being and wants her to do that. And she actually cares and is worried and checking in on her daughter. I'm like, that's not what we normally see in shows or movies.
It's very true.
Again, it's like that. Like, when I was in, I had a class in college called Young Adult Literature. And literally, I have a whole textbook and it still holds up to this day. Young adult literature has this formula where they somehow remove the parents, whether they're just distant or they're dead. And so the young adult can blaze its path. And in this, Joss said, no, we're not doing that. Now, I mean, we lose Joyce later on, and I was kind of looking up why, and it makes sense. We'll talk about that in season three or four, whatever it was.
I think it's four.
Four. But he turned it around, and I just, I like Joyce. Now, I also think it's interesting that he kind of showed the dynamics of what was happening in the 90s with divorces and how a lot of times one parent is there, the other parent is very distant.
Yes.
Don't we get more of that in next season? Is next season when her dad, like, doesn't show up, or was it this season?
Don't think it's till season three when he just doesn't come. Yeah, if I recall, because I think it's like a birthday thing with her, maybe
something. I can't remember exactly what it is. But
yeah, it's not next season. I think it's season three when he just sucks.
I will say we haven't talked about this episode yet. Out of mind, out of sight. When the girl becomes invisible.
Yeah.
I feel like that episode, I put that as my least favorite because it leaves so many, like, open questions where I'm like, what is happening? Like, at the end of the episode, government people come to take her away and she's in this classroom with all these other invisible people and doing stuff. I'm like, this, I need a spinoff. I need to know what's happening. How, I need more. Does the government know that there's a Hellmouth? Like, what is happening here? Like, that's why I don't, like, that's my least. Because there's too many open questions that never get answered later on in seasons. Mm-hmm. In my opinion.
I love the open-endedness. So you're just like, oh, now she just works for the government and she's clearly a weapon. Mm-hmm. Great.
Clearly an assassin.
Clearly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, I think they make it clear with little drips and drops that they know. Mm-hmm. They know about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you get to our college years, and you definitely know they know, but...
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but leading up to that, yeah, I feel like there's little... Because the next season is when those government people, whatever they are, come in and get Willow and Oz because of the career test that took. Which is bizarre to me, mm-hmm. but... like, this little crappy high school career aptitude thing, and they're just like, oh, Willow, you clearly can be one of us. Okay.
I wonder if those little, like that was really a connection to, could have been a connection to what happens when she's in college and meets Riley and his military gang.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Just all set up. I don't know how long he had that planned, so.
Oh, I'm sure he had versions of it planned for.
He seems to plan stuff out pretty far ahead.
He does.
Because they start doing hints of Dawn at the end of season 3, I think. Yeah, I think it's season 3.
I just remember, I know we're going to talk about it, but I just remember, like, her showing up and both of them saying, Mom, and I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. You and everybody
just
else.
Just out of nowhere, you're like, wait a minute. Am I going crazy?
The entire
like,
is this fandom. Always,
where did this come from?
Yeah. Has she like, did been I forget there? About the show? Like, what happened?
Right.
Wait, did she, what? It's great.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else in this season that we want to discuss?
I got nothing.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Okay. All right. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, Pixie Dusters, thank you so much for joining us for our Out of Disney season of Whedonverse. Mm-hmm. And our first episode of Buffy. We will be back next week to talk about season 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.